fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Folks, it is Drive Time. You got the American Adversaries, and you're listening to us on AM 660 The Answer, and I'm feeling pretty good because the sun is finally peeking through. The rain has moved out. Now we're going to have some nice seasonal weather, and I certainly hope you enjoy it, and I certainly hope you enjoy tonight's show. I think you will. And don't forget, we are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios for the very best in Mercury Free dental care. Give my dentist a call at 407-678-3399. That's Dr. James E. Hardy. And ask him about his book, Mercury Free. And in the studio with me today, of course, I am Christopher Hart. Lair Adams is out tonight. He'll be back tomorrow night. But we got some great regulars on the show with us tonight, some members of the American Adversaries Army. And I didn't know, but one of these gentlemen's father was a dentist. And that would be Mike McBath.
That's absolutely correct.
Yep. Yeah. And that helped, I guess, get you and your brother through all those schools up there. You at Penn State?
That's exactly right. Plus, I learned how to clean my teeth.
Which is why you got such a good set of choppers now.
That's exactly right.
That's right. Know? And, of course, Mike McBath is an NFL vet. He played for the Buffalo Bills after he played for the Nittany Lions and Joe Paterno. And then he went on to play in the World Football League, and, of course, he is now presently the president of the National NFL Former Players Union. And, of course, he was in Phoenix, the Phoenix area, for the Super Bowl week, and he's got some tales to tell us here in just a few minutes about that. But also in the studio today, we have a great friend and sponsor of the show, and that, of course, is Aubrey Kahn of Fern Foundation Home Inspections. Aubrey, how you doing today?
Wait, we got to get your mic on there. Try that again. I'm looking forward to a great time here tonight. I'm having a great time. It's a good week. Good, nice weather for ducks.
Yeah, for ducks. I was going to say, not so much for home inspectors while it was raining anyway, but it's turning off nice now. And of course, folks, you can be a part of today's show. You know the phone number in case you don't or forgot it. It's 407-774-8255. And you would do good to keep that phone close by because at some point in this hour, just like we promised yesterday, we are going to have five more pairs of tickets to the Old Florida Outdoor Festival, which is coming up next weekend, the 14th and 15th, at the Northwest Recreational Center in North Apopka. And it's going to be great. There's going to be a lot of kids' activities, a locals' farmer market. Here's something that we would like, a chili cook-off and a barbecue cook-off. It's worth going just for that. And great concerts by some great country and Western talent. On Saturday, for instance, Montgomery Gentry is going to be the talent, the main show, main act, I should say. And on Sunday, Joe Nichols will be the main act. And so once again, we got five pairs of tickets to give away at some point during today's show. Not right now, but I'll tell you when. And if you happen to win one of those pairs of tickets, just like the five who won yesterday, you will be qualified for a drawing to perhaps win a family four-pack for both days. The pairs of tickets are for either Saturday or Sunday, but you will be qualified to win a four-pack for possibly win that for both days. So stick around, and we'll get to that here shortly. But today is National Prayer Day. And this morning they had the 63rd, according to our president, National Prayer Breakfast. I happened to catch it this morning. The weather was nasty, so I stayed in for a while and watched that and felt nauseated afterwards. Because here's our president now. And by the way, Darrell Waltrip, you know, the former NASCAR driver, he gave the best speech this morning. He gave his testimony and how he came to Jesus, and it just that was what prayer breakfast is supposed to be about. Well, then along comes the president, and now get this: this particular president, called for the rest of us to have humility.
I know. I mean, the most pompous individual that ever walked down the street and to sit in the White House had the audacity to say that. It's so disgusting. And the thing I got to kick out when he's trying to dilute what happened, unfortunately, with the Jordanian pilot, and he made the statement, well, people did terrible deeds in the name of Christ. You know, we all know what happened long ago. But this is today. This is where my family lives, and this is where most of the American families live. Now, could you tell me what's going on in the Muslim world? Yeah. You ought to know.
Well, and Aubrey, you said what he was up to when he made that statement.
Well, you'll have to remind me. I've said so many things about him.
He was leveling the playing
field. I was leveling the playing field. That's right. But, it's always with him, it's always a case of do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah. But Mike's point, and you saying about leveling the playing field, that is distinctly the feeling that I got from the speech. Ostensibly, it was a speech to tell people who are, how did he put it, distorting religion, that you're not really being religious. In other words, ostensibly, he was addressing, say, ISIS. But in fact, he was addressing us.
Us, right.
He was telling us not to distort Islam,
right,
and to practice humility and to be humble. And as you say, this coming from the most pompous horse's patoot ever to come down the pike.
Like I say, I can't watch him. I have to turn the TV off if I ever see him on there. Can't watch.
But it really was. It was a subtle attempt to say that, hey, what these ISIS guys are doing is no different than what people did under the name of Christianity. And he went on to say other religions as well. And that's where he is dead wrong. Well, that's where he's dead wrong, and I'll let you make your points.
Right.
But first of all, the difference between what these ISIS characters are doing and what others have done in the name of Christianity, say like Jim Jones or David Koresh, is they are working with an interpretation of their own that doesn't jive with the Scripture. And by that I mean the Christians and others.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at Islam and you look at what's in the Quran and what's in the Hadiths and what Sharia law teaches, ISIS is Islam. They are practicing it the way that it is taught in their books.
And I mean, as you know, you just watch on Fox Network the different individuals they bring in who are, say they were Muslims, or I don't know how you want to define them, but they make it very clear how this religion runs and, how destructive it is to mankind. And I guess if you go back over time, it's like hundreds of millions of people, goodbye, thanks to the Muslim.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But he never blames the Muslims for what they're doing.
No.
All right. It's always our fault because we have antagonized the Muslim world. And so therefore, it is our fault that they are doing what they are doing.
And this is a mass deception.
And I have a little problem. We antagonize the Muslim world. We help put Saudi Arabia on the map by the way we developed their oil industry, as we develop all the oil industries that made them all filthy rich. And then, they really worked against us. And obviously we know in many, many ways, look what happened in New York. And it was our fault? Wow. That's a sick logic.
It is a sick logic.
Very sick.
It is. It is sick, and it is sick in the sense that it is deadly to the culture. It is deadly to our society. It is cancerous because it's eaten us up from within.
Look, it's no different to what they're doing to Israel. They're blaming Israel for all the unrest in the Middle East.
Yeah, well, in that sense, Israel is just an extension, if you will, of U.S. foreign policy.
Right.
And
the dilution of the Muslim effect?
Yeah, absolutely.
He has 6 million Jews in Israel. There's how many Muslims? 1.1 billion. And the Jews are causing all the trouble for the Muslim world.
It just doesn't add up. But there's our president on National Prayer Day taking the opportunity to subtly scold us and legitimize What he is doing is legitimizing what ISIS is doing. He's saying, look, they're no different than your average run-of-the-mill fundamentalist Christian. And he is so dead wrong.
When he was there, did he get down on his knees to pray?
Hardly. Hardly. Oh. And it seemed, as a matter of fact, the way he started, and once again, this just goes to his cold-hearted nature, it was like, well, welcome to National Prayer Day. And it was like it was no big deal. But then when he was talking about humility and religious freedom and how we, you know, we should be restrained and not distort talking to people like us, I noticed he wasn't working from the prompters. That was coming from the heart. You see, mm-hmm. He really feels that Christianity, United States of America, Israel, we are the problems. And the solution is for us to be, you know, humiliated and practice humility and to be humbled.
I saw the other day on TV, they had a picture of Margaret Thatcher talking, you know, to Ronald Reagan. And you know, and that's certainly when you look at that picture, you think of all the right things. You know,
yeah.
I mean, what great people. They certainly were in tune with each other. They certainly helped us develop our military, help us get through hard times. And, you know, they put the world on the right track. And then I think of the picture of him and Valerie Jarrett. Oh, my God. This is the antithesis of the exact reverse, right?
Yeah, you're
These are the
right.
people that absolutely unraveled everything that was ever done for the past 20 years.
Yeah.
And their picture wasn't quite as good.
But it's never their fault.
Well,
Of course not.
Real quick note, folks. One of the highlights of the National Prayer Breakfast this morning was Octavius Johnson, a little young fella. I guess he was maybe 13 or 14 years old, who sang the Lord's Prayer. And it was powerful. And we're going to try to get our hands on that audio, and on our Sunday night show, we'll play that at the end of the show Sunday night if we can get our hands on it. But it was inspiring. Darrell Waltrip was inspiring. The President of the United States was trying to be inspiring, but ended up being his usual sickening self.
Yeah. Well, his act is over. You know, 6 years of lying, that's enough. We get the act. And, you know, go to Hollywood when it's over. Join the Kardashians.
I guess if Obama ever had a son...
he would look like Octavius Johnson.
He would not be like Octavius Johnson.
Yeah. Well, he would sing like Octavius Johnson.
Oh, I don't know about that.
All right. Okay. When we come back, we'll do some more singing around here. We're going to talk about the Jordanian pilot who was executed and the King of Jordan's response to it. And him quoting, by the way, Unforgiven, the movie by Clint Eastwood. I love this stuff. And it is the exact appropriate response to these devils in disguise, thinly veiled disguise. And, of course, I'm talking about ISIS, Boko Haram, and the likes. So don't go away. And we also have those tickets to give away. We'll be right back. That's got to have something to do with this segment of the show. All right, folks, stick around because you're going to enjoy this. 407-774-8255 is the number. And get those phones out and put them to work right now. We'll take the first five callers, and you'll get those five pairs of tickets to the Old Florida Outdoor Festival, which is going to be the 14th and 15th of this month in Apopka. And let's see, Montgomery Gentry is going to be the main act on Saturday, and Joe Nichols, a couple of country western stars, will be the main act on Sunday. Call right now. 407-774-8255 to pick up one of those five pairs of tickets and get entered in a contest to win a family four-pack for the whole weekend. All right, Mike, you had me load that, had Nick load that song up. What is Dancing Queen all about?
Well, I was giving this great thought. You know, the other day when they had the Jordan King on and they called him, you know, the Warrior King, which is certainly about as macho as it gets. And you know, the reality is he was a special service guy. He's a well-trained pilot. Obviously, he shows human emotion. And, you know, he's the type of leader you want. And then I was thinking about, you know who, Mr. O?
Yeah.
What would he be defined as if we were trying to put him in a military sense? And I was thinking, the dancing queen, young and dreamies. So then I thought a little bit further, and I was trying to figure out, wonder what his actual conversation was when he found out about this horrendous crime of, you know, burning this pilot alive. And I figured he probably went something like this. Well, I'll have Eric Holder look into this, and I plan to speak with a joint counsel with Susan Rice, and then maybe we'll try to get civil action against them in the court. I mean, is this guy ridiculous? I mean, when does the American public get so fed up they don't march in Washington?
That's about the size of it, and I love that. Yeah, you got the warrior
the dancing
king,
queen.
The warrior king, and the dancing queen. But yeah, this king of Jordan, Abdullah, he's on it. I mean, he understands what's going on. He understands this in particular is an existential threat to Jordan, but also to the stability of the whole world. When you look at
to
it.
World, right.
Exactly. And he quoted Clint Eastwood from the movie Unforgiven at the end of the movie when Clint Eastwood's done all his deeds and he's ready to ride out of town. And he says, "If you don't mess with no whores or anything, or I'll come back and I'll kill you and I'll kill your family and I'll burn your houses down." That's what he told ISIS that he's going to do to them.
Yeah.
And that's what they understand. They understand
power and
force.
Unfortunately, horrific retribution.
Exactly.
And it's so horrible it has to be that way. But that's what you're dealing with.
Yep.
You know, it's either pay me now or pay me later, Dancing Queen. So let's get on it.
Dancing Queen, Aubrey.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was talking to people about that today, and they're saying, you know, we have to engage them. I say, yes, militarily.
Yeah.
You can't negotiate with these people.
No.
They will lie to your face and stab you in the back at the same time.
Yeah, they will use the negotiation to further their goals at our expense.
Look at Iran.
Yeah.
All right? They're as close to nuclear weapon as you can get. And here's our president negotiating to give them more and allow he's going to allow them to get nuclear weapons. That is his ultimate goal.
That's not even debatable.
Mike, you were in the business world for a long time, mm-hmm. UBS Bank, after you left the pro football. And what would you – is there a name or a word for a negotiator of his skills, like amateur, loser?
Yeah, wait a second. Failure. Negotiator of his skills. Right off the bat, you're wrong. There are no skills. I mean, the sad thing about it, it's really part of his whole act and the Valerie Jarrett act and the whole group of them up there. And, they're virtually trying to just neutralize this country. And they actually think, well, if we're just like the rest, nothing will happen. You know what? The worst comes about because there will always be tyrants in the world. And with nuclear missiles, I mean, look at these ICBMs that Iran is. They're already
developing.
Have them developed. It's just a matter of when are they going to reach us. And are they just going to carry a little bomb? No, they're being built to put nuclear warheads on it. And, you know, those people who are motivated by religion at the very top of their brain, and particularly when the religion is continuously distorted, we're in big trouble. And if this guy thinks that he's going to come up with some deal where integrity will be shown, I don't think there'd be integrity on either side. I think he'd lie directly to the American public so he could look in his own mind, because none of us look it that way, like, oh, I'm Mr. Big Shot.
Yeah,
no,
well,
you're Mr. Big Fool.
Well, we know that he's looked at the American public in the eye and blatantly lied to us before when he told us if we wanted to keep our plan or our doctors, we'd be able to do that, when he knew all along it was a lie. By the way, I'd go further to say that they not only want to neutralize the country, they want to neuter the country.
To me, that's one of the major concerns out there, is this nuclear play by Iran, because I believe they may just be foolish enough to try something. And as for Israel, those people who voted for Mr. Obama are going to be very, very sorry. Yeah. I hope that I'm wrong.
Yeah, they will get zero from Mr. O.
Yeah, Mr. Zero.
That's for sure.
Now, where was Valerie Jarrett born?
Iran. And I believe her parents still live there.
Right.
We're checking into that. But,
so where is her loyalty?
Well, it certainly doesn't seem to be the United States of America. I think that she is very loyal to the president.
Where's his loyalty?
But that's to our detriment and to his detriment as well. Because she shields him. And perhaps that's what he wants her to do, but she shields him from things that he should know.
Well, what I was one last well, thing
he,
I was
he
wondering.
He always finds it out when he watches the news on TV.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah.
Well, did Brian Williams interview them and vet them in the very beginning?
He must have. We'll be bringing that subject up in the second half of the show. Plus, I got to ask Mike about the quote unquote the play. So we'll be talking some Super Bowl. We'll be talking Nancy Pelosi. We'll be talking with Nostradamus and you if you'd like to give us a call at 407-774-8255. And I know we already have some winners. We'll update you on the winners, and if we have any other tickets to give away, we'll do that in the second half of the show as well. Don't forget, folks, you're listening to the American Adversaries. It is Drive Time, and we are on live Monday through Friday at 5, and Sunday live from 5 to 8. And don't forget to catch us and check out our brand new website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com.
AM 660. Here is tonight's American Adversaries soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Today's SoundbiteRx News Minute is brought to you by My Liberty Threads. American made, America proud. MyLibertyThreads.com.
Hi, this is Christopher Hart once again for SoundbiteRx.com with just a little sample of the brand new medicine you'll find there today, like this story. Republican Senator Jeff Sessions has strong concerns and doubts about our new Attorney General nominee, Loretta Lynch. And I got some doubts of my own, and hopefully he'll air those out. Here's a great story that you would find maybe on our Sunday night show with Johnny Guns in his WTF News section. A fake cop, that's right, pulled over a real cop. You'll find that story brand new today at soundbiterx.com. And this one is not so funny. The Muslim Brotherhood is meeting with State Department officials and over Egypt and what's going on over there. And I guess they are able to air their views about al-Sisi and how they are uncomfortable with what he's doing in Egypt to the State Department. Thank you very much. Also this, former classmates say Jeb Bush was a pot-smoking bully. Oh, no, say it ain't so. All right, folks, that's just a little sample of the brand-new medicine you'll find at SoundbiteRx.com, stuff you'll find nowhere else. And don't forget, they are linked up with us on our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. Please go there. It's good medicine. We'll be right back. That's right. We brought out the varsity first-team squad of the sexy and smart of us here. That would, of course, be Mike McBath and Aubrey Kahn.
That's the smart side.
And then you got me, Christopher Hart. Nostradamus will be with us momentarily. And Lair will be back tomorrow. Okay. Like yesterday, we got four winners, and the phone lines were all tied up, and phones were still, lines were still hot, but Nick could only get four of you. So we got one more pair of tickets for, did you say Saturday night? Okay, for Saturday night when Montgomery Gentry is going to be the main act. But first of all, congratulations to Amahad. Ahmad from Orlando, Marty from Goldenrod, William from Longwood, and Philip from Apopka. You're all going to the Old Florida Outdoor Festival. And we have one more pair of tickets, good for Saturday night. If you want it, call right now, and they are yours. And you will be entered into a drawing that will possibly get you a family four-pack for the whole weekend. All right, we were talking before the break about the difference, if you will, between the styles of our president, the dancing queen, and the King of Jordan, the warrior king. And we also brought up the fact that, or Mike did anyway, saw, you know, a picture recently of former President Reagan and Prime Minister Thatcher in consultation, and then compared that to a picture of our president and old Val, first gal pal Val Jarrett, and just no comparison whatsoever. But right now we have a caller on the line who would like to talk about that, and once again the number is 407-774-8255. Al, thank you for calling, and your comments about first gal pal Val, please.
Hey, what's going on, guys? God bless.
Thanks. Same to you.
I've been thinking about it, you know, and maybe you guys can help me out with this. I hear men like yourself, and I hear a lot of other people, you know, talk about Obama in this way, and I'm just trying to figure out, when I say the word, I mean, we all know that he is against Christianity. We all know that he is obviously anti-American, basically. Everybody knows this, but when I say the word traitor, people get offended, and they do not like that word. Where is the line where what is the line that he has to cross to become a traitor, even though we know he is driving the country in the ground? We know that he is letting our enemies advance. We know this.
Well, let me take the first crack at it, then I'll let the other guys, because I've done a lot of thinking about this. And I think it has to do with the consequence of when we designate him as a traitor, it means that we kind of have to do something, you know, that'll get you in trouble with the Secret Service if we start to go down that road. Because,
right.
Because you know, you're talking about, you know, he's in violation of his duty as a president. He's in violation of the Constitution. He's actually committing high crimes and misdemeanors, if you will. And that's a call for action. And I think people are uncomfortable to cross that threshold, as they should be. Having said that, I think down deep, all of us agree with you, Al. Mike, you take a stab at it.
Well, I mean, that is, like you say, sometimes it's semantics. I'm not sure I would use that word, I mean, just because of what has been mentioned earlier, but it is a case incompetent, bozo.
Zero. Pretty good, yeah.
I mean, the answer is, it's very hard to give the group that's in the White House any degree of respect when you look at the regulatory laws that have cost our industry billions and billions of dollars, the jobs that have been lost, the pipeline situation, which is nothing but political. I mean, how do you go on and have any respect for this group of people? Or just about, sadly enough, and I'm sure there's one or two good Democrats around, but the whole party. How can you not allow the pipeline to go through that generates 40-some thousand jobs? What is wrong with you people?
Because he is a traitor.
Yeah, Aubrey, traitor, president, a traitor, and why are people a little reluctant? I mean, I think, as I said, it's because once you go down that road, it means, you know, you kind of have to go down that road.
Yeah, there's no turning back. Once you've accused someone of being a traitor, you can't pull back from that and say, well, actually, no, he isn't.
Yeah.
You take a look at his intent. His intent is to fundamentally change his country.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was his intent at the beginning. He made it known.
Yeah.
And he was elected in spite of it.
And I think Aubrey makes a point here as well, which goes to answer your question, I think, Al. And that is in the sense that for someone to be a traitor, they kind of have to know that they're committing a traitorous act. In this president's mind, I think he has deluded himself to believe that everything that he does is for the best. And so in that sense, he may not qualify.
That's a bad argument. That would fail in the court of law.
Well, you're absolutely right.
I think that if the people are, I mean, I said it before on the radio show. If the people are willing to give up these freedoms and liberties, then we don't deserve either or. I mean, eventually we're going to be printing out $1 million bills with Obama's face on it, and they're going to have barrels of cash running around trying to get a loaf of bread.
You're absolutely right. But the thing of it is that he campaigned on changing this country.
Yeah, fundamentally.
People voted for him in spite of it, not just once, but twice.
Yeah. It's like one time shame on you, two times shame on me. Al, excellent phone call. I got to let you go, though, because the lines are stacking up on me. But thank you for being out there. I really appreciate it. And I hope to see you in the recruiting office for the American Adversaries Radio Army. We so thank you and your views out there. Real quickly, and I'll come back to JJ because she wants to make a comment, but she won the last pair of tickets. So all the tickets to the old Florida Outdoor Festival are now gone. But we may have some other stuff to give away before the night. The night is still young, and Mike McBath is here. You never know.
We got something.
All right, but I want to go back to Mike because he's been holding the longest, and then we'll bring in the other callers. Mike, thank you for calling, and you have a question for Mike.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Mike McBath an NFL question.
Please do.
It's remember the 1972 season when Miami Dolphins went undefeated?
Unfortunately.
he was playing that year.
You know what? I actually think the Bills lost to them for 10 years in a row. Go Bills.
Well, my question is this: there was a cornerback on the defensive side named Curtis Johnson, number 45.
I remember.
He was reported as a missing person some years back. Do you have anything update on that?
No, I will say this: I know that the Player Association actually has books that they go out and they look up the history of these players, et cetera, and maybe. They may have information leading to, what occurred with the city. Maybe somewhere else, hopefully he's still alive and everything. But I know they have a pretty good tracing system. So
well,
that's where I usually go.
He wasn't receiving his NFL pension checks. And that's why it came up missing. He's from the Toledo, Ohio area.
Right, right. And he wasn't receiving them?
There's something about they weren't being cashed. I don't know exactly back in the 70s or the 80s how they got their retirement checks, whether
okay.
they came in the
mail.
Well,
actually, usually what happens is, I'm just using an example. Let's say he played in 72, and let's say he finished in, I don't know, 76 or something.
78 was his last
78,
year.
Okay, because normally you can, back then you could take your pension, which would have been absolute foolish, at 45 years old.
I see.
And the way the pension actually works, to clarify things, because you know how the media gave you this story that O.J. lived off his pension? That was complete, you know, BS. The reality of it is the pension starts at 55. But if you're smart enough to wait or financially able, if you wait till you're 62, it then doubles. And then if you wait from 62 to 65, it goes up 0.7. So what is an okay pension becomes a pretty good pension, you know, if you were to extend out the 65.
Right.
But that whole story that was presented to the public about O.J. living off his pension, what a complete bunch of BS, which tells you again that none of these reporters do their homework at all.
Hey, Mike, what was that player's name again, please?
Curtis Johnson.
Curtis Johnson. Okay.
Yeah,
we'll see if we can follow.
He's 67 years old right now.
All right. Did you happen to know him at the time, or was he a favorite player of yours?
He's a favorite player, but when I heard the report that he was missing, and that was about the time that Mercury Morris got busted for coke and a couple of the other guys kind of disappeared too. I'm wondering if there wasn't some foul play.
Well, we'll try to find out.
He never showed up at any of the Dolphins' later years get-togethers.
Well, okay. One of my favorite was Larry Zonka, who always ran over us.
Yeah. He's up there in Alaska enjoying
I know.
Himself.
He's hunting somewhere today.
Is that right? Okay, Mike, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate you being out there, and please call back. And, okay, I want to bring in, the phone lines are still full, but try to get through if you like. I want to bring in Nostradamus on this. Nostradamus, first of all, anything latest on, first of all, I asked you this morning, you know, today's a National Prayer Day. What's the history behind that?
Yeah, sure. Let me pull out the little history about the National Prayer Breakfast, which was originally called the President's Prayer Breakfast. I'm not sure if you realize that.
No.
It was formed by the guy who created Goodwill, the fundraising
right.
Group, and it's actually run by that nonprofit on behalf of Congress. Congress holds it each day, and it's not just a breakfast. It's actually a series of meetings, luncheons, and dinners. It goes on from morning till night. It's taken place since 1953. It's been held since the 80s at the Washington Hilton on Connecticut Avenue Northwest. And every U.S. president since Dwight David Eisenhower, including President Obama, has participated in the annual event, as well as several keynote guest speakers throughout the years.
I wonder how many of those presidents, though, took the opportunity to lecture the American public on humility and humbleness when he's such a pompous, you know what, himself. By the way, you had a great comment, a retort, if you will, to Mike McBath when he said perhaps the president should give up the White House and go to be join the Cardassians.
Yeah, Mike, doesn't that family haven't they reached their quota of big butts?
No, I agree, but honestly, I really do believe that would be the perfect job. If I was a job placement counselor, and I'd say, well, Mr. Obama, I really do believe with your attitude, your style, your metrosexual swinging guy, you would be a perfect guy to go into the Kardashians and replace Bruce Jenner.
The old Dan.
Yeah, they'd make a great sitcom, wouldn't they?
Yeah, it would be great. It would be great. And don't run it short. I think there's a possibility.
The old dancing queen himself.
You'd see masses of asses.
Let's go now to JJ. Thank you for calling. And you have a comment about the prayer breakfast.
Oh, yeah, thanks, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just thought he's a disgrace, but he's so boring, like you, Mike. I can't stand to listen to him. And because he is so, you know, I guess you, Chris, said he started out kind of like very ho-hum. He says these outrageous things, but so many of the people in this country don't hear the outrageous things he's saying because I think they tune him out.
Yeah.
Well, that, and I think all of us have some degree of decency, you know, in the sense that you don't want to fire back at the guy like you really should or the people that are his advocates. I mean, but the reality is I think we've been the bridge has been burnt enough. You know, yeah. Most of us are now going to fire back at people that have been supporters of him, you know, at him, because, you know, this has turned into be a very destructive period to this nation
and dangerous.
In all aspects. And particularly, I'm concerned, and that's one reason, anyway, I can help this show. It's a case that I just believe my kids' lives are at stake with this guy when it involves Iran and, you know, the war capabilities of Russia now and China. China's probably technology will determine who wins a war, and we've lost so much through the internet. And that this guy can't, you know, harden our capacity so they can't break through. I mean, this guy has failed in every single measure of as an individual. Just pathetic.
Or succeeded
the real story when it comes out, but we'll wait for that. Right.
And to try to compare Christians, the things
that was so pathetic.
It was.
It had to go back. Greg Gutsfeld just said, I thought it was a funny line in the beginning of the five. I caught him saying, yeah, I had to go back 1,100 years to come up with an example.
I know. You know what? I mean, there was...
And even back then, the example he was probably talking about was in response to a Muslim, assault on them. But
I mean, can you imagine, though, in all seriousness, that here are these people who are out there crucifying kids. I mean, when is enough enough? And when does this guy get the work? Well, work is not his word. Yeah. I'm sorry. Get that off the golf course.
Crucifying kids, burying them alive, having them cut
horrible.
One another's heads off.
Raping them.
Yeah. He's a great American.
JJ, thank you so very much, and congratulations on winning the tickets. And I hope you, too, will become an American Adversaries Army soldier. All right, speaking of great soldiers, let's go now to John Butler Book, who's on the line. And by the way, folks, he follows us on Sunday night live right here on WTLN 950 at 8 o'clock. John, how are you doing this afternoon?
Hey, great program.
Thank you.
I want to mention something to you. I could very easily refer to the president as a traitor. But if I did so, I'd feel it necessary to apologize to any self-respecting traitor for making the comparison.
I knew you'd have some great wisdom for us there, John, but you're so right. But so many Americans do have that feeling about this president, though, don't they, John?
Yes, they do. I would say it'd be safe to say that he is a betrayer. I mean, he betrayed the American people when it came to his health care. You can keep your doctor, you can keep your hospital, we'll lower the rates and we'll minimize the national debt. He betrayed us when it came to Benghazi, calling it a YouTube video. He betrayed us again, of course, when he allowed the National Security Agency to tap into all of us. I tell people if they want a copy of my radio talk show, all they got to do is write NASA and they will give it to them.
That's a good comment. I like that.
Constitution, and he openly stated that if the political wind shifted in the negative direction, I will side with the Muslims. That's why he bowed to a Muslim king, and that's why he cannot call Muslim terrorism. But here's the thing that is so important. You know the old saying, birds of a feather flock together, and there may be room for this bird to become a jailbird under the Constitution. But when you look at George Soros, a multi-billionaire communist who said many years ago that he wanted to destroy the economy of our country, he's the one that backs this president in so many ways, and there's got
that's
to be a reason
true.
For that. I really believe that we need to ask God to liberate us from the oppression that is coming, because ISIS is here, and this man is doing nothing to protect this country, although he swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States. He considered the flag to be a sign of oppression, and it was to Adolf Hitler, it was to Mussolini, and it was to Tojo. But to those people, the American flag also, who were incarcerated and incapacitated in the legal Bastille illegally, they had to say the American flag was a sign of liberation. It just depends on what side of the continuum you're on.
Yeah,
John, were you ever an auctioneer?
I tell you,
all right, well, thank you, John. I gotta let you go.
A great program, keep it up.
Thank you so very much. And by the way, folks, that's the kind of wit and wisdom that you will get every Sunday night on John's show, and he does it live, and it's a call-in show as well, and it's at 8 o'clock following us on Sunday night, and he's on up the dial at 950 WTLN. When we come back, we got some more stuff to give away. We got Ken holding on the line, and we got more with Nostradamus, so please don't go away. All right, That's right, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries, where we have tagged our president with the label Dancing Queen, as opposed to the King of Jordan, who is the King of Warriors. Speaking of Warriors, football, Mike McBath, you play football. Hang in there, Ken. We'll get right to you. But what do you think about the play, and what have you been playing lately?
Well, you know, you were talking about there. Unfortunately, I was out there for, you know, a union boss. I was out there from Thursday through Sunday. And we've all seen the play. It's been repeated 7,000 times.
Right.
I think I have it memorized backwards and forwards. But I actually think the coach made, I know this will upset people, the right call. Because statistically, a lot of people don't know this, but on five carries, the running back in the past only had scored one time on five carries from the one-yard line. Now, mentally, we all would have think that he scores every time he carries the ball from the one, because how can you not get 1 yard?
Sure.
But remember, all of us are not the head football coach. Well, what happens is, I think there was rationale to that because it was the second down. You know, they had only a yard to go. Everybody in the stands, if you had a button that you pushed, I would bet 99% of the people would push the button. He's running the ball. So what he did, I thought, was, you know, a reasonable
move
on his part.
A little counterintuitive.
And it was just unfortunate that Bill Belichick, who does a great job, obviously, scouting, they actually had practiced that play.
We're
so this, and this was a play that was immediately interpreted properly by the defensive back, and, you know, he ends up with the ball. But that's what we call smart coaching, good players. And was it a bad call? I don't think so. The bad part about it was the results.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
All right, speaking of balls, you've been whacking any golf balls around lately?
Oh, I love it. You know, as you know, we're heavily involved. We have a lot of our players involved with My Tour Card. And our players are out there in the courses. The other day, I had a chance to play with James Jones, you know, play with Detroit a long time. Ray Hamilton, 10 years with the Patriots. Fellow John Ebersole, if you're Jets fans, he's playing with us next week. And we're out in the, you know, courses like you're familiar with, Rio Pinar, Mystic Dunes, Red Tail, Orange Lake, Stony Brook, East and West. Now, as I say that, if you hold a My Tour Card, you get a discount below the rack rate. Plus the fact, and there's no cost to get it, and we're going to give three away tonight to the first three callers.
All right.
And remember, they hold contests there where they do drawings, and you'll be able to be out there playing with the pros, too, because I know they plan to do a lot of that.
All right. Put Nick back to work. Give him writer's cramp. Let's give away three of those My Tour cards. If you're a golfer and you would like a free My Tour card with discounts to some almost 30 golf courses.
Oh, they have actually about 24 golf courses that it is good for. And if you're a Central Florida golfer, it's very, very relevant to you.
And they're good in the pro shops, too. So if you want
to shops, food.
You got it. Get this discount card. Give us a call right now, 407-774-8255, and we will set you up with a free My Tour Card golf discount card. All right, I want to go to Ken briefly, and then we will go back to Nostra Dennis to wrap things up. Ken, thank you for holding, and your comment, please.
Yes, I'd just like to hear your thoughts, Chris, and the other gentleman. I heard when the caller called and brought up the title traitor.
Yes.
And one of your guests there said, well, we have voted him in. When that last election, I didn't see half the hoopla for him that I did the first time. And I heard so many comments made about computers. Having a straight vote for him up in Pennsylvania and some other areas. I'd just like to hear your thoughts about, have you ever looked into that to see if there was anything to do?
Yes, we did look into that, and believe it or not, in some of those precincts, getting 100% vote for a Democrat wasn't all that unusual. These were many of them were strong union districts where they had strong union, excuse me for the expression, Mike, but strong union bosses who would get the vote out. Having to do with the electronic machines, there is no great data on that. However, at the end of the day, it does appear as though Mitt Romney just did not get the job done. And if it is a matter of voter fraud, the Republicans just got to buck up and be more ready for it next time. And they have made changes in voting laws around the country, which should make it much more difficult to do that. However, there always is that doubt in the back of our mind, Ken. But thank you for the call. We appreciate you so much being out there. And I'd love to have you join the American Adversaries Army as well. Nostradamus, I'm going to go back to you real quick. You got a story on Brian Williams.
Yeah, you know, NBC is known for kind of fudging the truth, i.e. the Zimmerman tapes and a few other things they've done the last several years. How about this one? Brian Williams has said for years that he was in a helicopter that was hit and forced down by RPG fire back in 2003. Well, it turns out he's been repeating that story for the last 12 years, and it just ain't true.
I have a question, Nostradamus. Do you think that when they knocked the helicopter down, that the bullet went through the helicopter and hit Hillary's plane, the one that I think she was in a crash of?
I could have done it. You know, though, even Brian Williams' apology is not true, because he tried to clear it up on the news the other night by saying he wasn't in that helicopter. It was a fuzzy weekend. There was a lot going on. He was in a helicopter that was following that helicopter.
He's a perfect journalist, though. He is.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
It was following the helicopter an hour later.
I think he was smoking some of that hashish over there out of them hookah pipes or something. Great work, Nostradamus. And once again, all right, we'll see you in a bit, Cafe Positano. Once again, folks, he's got a lot of great news stories at our Facebook page today, American Adversaries on Facebook. Aubrey, Mike, great show. Thanks for being here, guys.
Always a pleasure.
Always fun.
Night, everybody.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. A service of Salem Communications. Intelligent, conservative. AM 660, The Answer.